Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. Libby, you know what I've been thinking about?
What?
I've been thinking about how Toledo is home to so many incredible small businesses.
That is true.
They're just amazing.
So many, and they're all so wonderful.
I know, and I feel like anybody who has a really great business idea, one, can achieve it in the Toledo area,
absolutely,
which is really awesome. But I feel like a lot of people are deterred from that because they don't really know the right steps to take to get started.
Sure, it's a lot.
Exactly. And I think what's really cool, because obviously I'm mostly focused on Epic Toledo when I'm working at the Chamber.
Yeah.
But what I think is really cool is at the Toledo Chamber, we have our Small Business Development Center, which works to help small business owners get their start.
That's awesome.
And there's nobody better to talk about that,
yes,
than our guest today, Busong Mahosi. How are you, Busong?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Yes. Thank you for
being
here.
On the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to get into it.
Thank you.
I know. Busong, I feel like, is so young but has lived so many lives and done so many things. And so I feel like we should just dive right in.
Bit dramatic there.
No, tell us about your background. So kind of like the early years where you grew up,
okay,
what you were interested in, life pre-college.
Pre-college. Okay, so I was born and raised in Botswana, which is the country in Southern Africa, right on top of South Africa. You guys can pull up your Google Maps. I was raised there pretty much my whole life. I lived in other countries during that time. I lived in the States for 2 years when I was younger. Went to boarding school at some point in time. Then I ended up going to college, two semesters abroad while I was doing that. Went back home, worked there for some time, and came here to do my master's, and decided to stay in Toledo and help the small businesses that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and this is so funny because when we were talking to Busong before he came on the show, he is someone who is very concise with his answers. And so he'll give you like the whole overview of his life in 2 seconds. But I'm like, no, actually, let's dive in.
Okay, we can try. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with boarding school.
Boarding school.
Someone who's never been at boarding,
okay,
school. What was that like?
Boarding school was interesting. It was fun. Let me start by saying that it was fun. I remember my folks trying to get me to boarding school earlier, and I did not want to do that at all. The idea of boarding school, being away from my family, you know, the comfort of home, sounded horrible. But eventually, they managed to force me to go to boarding school.
Yeah, so when and where did you go?
So I went to boarding school in Swaziland, another country within Africa, one of the few kingdoms actually within Africa. So I went between the years of 2013 to 2015, and it was an amazing experience. I ended up wishing I'd gone there earlier. Boarding school was fun. It was an international school, so we got to meet people of many different backgrounds, Europeans, Asians, you know, Americans, South Americans, people from Australia, people from all over the globe. We had a very, being an international school, I was specifically had 14 other sister schools across the globe. So I know we had one in America, one in Costa Rica, one in China, one in Germany, Netherlands, a couple different places. But so we had people of different backgrounds at each different school, which made it amazing. We also had some princes and princesses that went to school, and I went to school with one of the wives, current wives, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah, she was a year group ahead of me, actually.
Well, so first I'm curious about how did you find that there were major differences in education between when you went to boarding school, which you said in like our schooling terms would have been about your junior year of high school?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So were there a lot of educational differences between your early education in Botswana to then your boarding school education?
Not so much, because I've kind of grew up within that international school type of experience. So I've always just had a lot of information about the local stuff as well as international stuff across the board. I wouldn't say there was too much of a difference, honestly. It was a smooth transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then tell us what it was like kind of getting that exposure to so many different backgrounds and how you felt that amplified your experience becoming a young leader.
Trust me, it was amazing. It helped build and shape the person I am today. having different opinions and different perspectives from different people helps you truly shape your mind. If you can't get it from other people, I would suggest traveling the world. Go visit a country. Go gain that perspective. There's so much out there in the world that you can gain from other people or other experiences. So I 100% would recommend traveling for someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then transitioning from, you know, your high school experience into college, talk about that. Where did you go?
So I went to Russia. I was in St. Petersburg, Russia. That's on the eastern side of Europe, basically. The transition was quite different. Russia was cold. Africa's hot. My country's hot. So that was quite a difference. The language barrier as well.
Sure.
They basically speak Russian. Luckily, my course was in English, so that helped a little bit. But to get by, you kind of have to learn the language.
Can I ask what drew you there?
What drew me there? Long story short, family friends.
Okay.
Yeah, long story short, yeah.
You love to tell a long story short.
Long story short, yeah.
And you had mentioned to me that you kind of went through a transitional program between high school and college.
Yes.
So did that, talk a little bit about that, and then also did that have any effect, too, on your choice to go to Russia for school?
Okay, so basically in the UK as well, similar system, they have something called A-levels or IB. Those are two different transitional programs, as you mentioned. And those different programs are meant to help prepare people for college, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do that for some time. After some time, I was like, you know what, instead of doing the full 2 years, let me just go to college since I was ready at that point.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit, too, about what that program was like, kind of transitioning what you were learning and how that helped to prepare you for your college readiness.
Yeah, so that program is very good. What those programs encourage you is to have core skills essentially for college. So they're going to teach you stuff like, well, I mean, you're already learning these things, but they kind of increase your knowledge on stuff like maths, English, different subjects in the sciences. And on top of that, they have like extracurricular activities that you have to do as well as a part of the program to just help you enrich yourself in other things essentially. A lot of community work as well that we did that was mandatory. So to always give back, even though yes, these were private schools, there was always work that we did to always give back to the community. So it always humbled people, so to say, and yeah, it just reminded people to be level-headed. So definitely very valuable. We learned a lot of core skills, interacted with people of many different backgrounds. So yeah, those are some of the things within that program.
Yeah. And then going into your time at school in Russia, what was your like actual area of study?
I studied international business.
Okay.
Yeah, international business.
So what all does that entail? Break it down
what
for the
does
listeners.
International
business
entail?
For dummies.
International business for dummies. Basically, you kind of learn how to interact with people of different backgrounds, different challenges that you may have in terms of culture, in terms of maybe exchange rates, things of that nature. Doing business is very different. If you're going to do business with someone from Japan, there's certain ways that you go about doing business. You may have to go through a dinner. A deal may be done in 3 months compared to maybe doing business with someone in America, maybe done at a table like this within 30 minutes. So doing business across different cultures is very, very different. And part of that program kind of taught some of that as well.
Which it sounds like you were prepared for with your experience.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting to kind of think about how if you're studying something like business in the U.S., it's going to be a lot different than if you're studying international business and learning more of the ins and outs of different cultures as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you have anything that was particularly surprising that you learned while you were in school about either a business dealing or just another culture that you weren't familiar with?
That's a good question. Anything that's shocking? Not necessarily. Not that comes to mind.
So then while you were in school, you also had the chance to go abroad.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where you went and what that experience was like.
So because of boarding, I basically learned and loved being independent. So within that time, being at college, my school had exchange programs, so different countries, I think, example like South Korea, Italy, Czech Republic, you know, different countries all over the world. The first, I went on 2 semesters abroad, had to fight them for the second one. but the first one, just because I wanted to get a completely different experience, is I went to Colombia. I was in Bogota in Colombia for a couple of months and absolutely loved that. Learned and engaged with the Spanish culture, learned a lot more, loved the food over there. The people are amazing, the weather, very good. And that was good. And my second semester abroad, I did it in the Netherlands, in a town on the border of Belgium called Maastricht. Beautiful, beautiful student town. People, the Dutch people are amazing people, very nice, very happy people. Had good experiences in both countries.
Do you have a specific experience in either that really sticks out as a favorite?
A favorite? That's a good question. I don't know. I think Netherlands. I would say the reason being is for, granted, obviously in Colombia, Spanish is the main language that they speak. In Netherlands, they do speak Dutch, but you know, a lot of people are able to communicate in English. I think maybe in that aspect, I'd lean more towards Netherlands.
Sure.
So looking at opportunities for a young professional like myself without having to go through the challenge of the language barrier, Netherlands probably would be my choice, yeah.
To be clear, though, you do speak multiple languages. How many languages do you speak and what are they?
Officially, 2 languages.
Okay, officially, but
my native language in English, but I can speak some Russian, obviously being in Russia. I can speak some French and Spanish as well. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Impressive.
So then after school in Russia,
yeah,
talk us through what was next for you once you graduated.
After school, what was next? I went back home. I was going back home to decide on what I'm doing next. Am I working? Am I going to do my master's? During that time, I did 3 jobs. My first was an internship. I worked at a consultancy company. Loved that. And that kind of what made me pay attention to consulting and that space, basically, which is kind of similar to what I'm doing right now, essentially. After that, I worked in a small startup business in the health industry. I was doing the business development there, which was very, very fun. Got to do some amazing business deals, and COVID hit us when I was doing that. So I got to come up with different ways to basically come on top when COVID was affecting a lot of businesses. And then during that time, I then transitioned into the financial industry as well, which is also good because, you know, I like numbers. Yeah.
So when you were working in Botswana at those 2 different companies, what were some of the skills that you feel you took with you to future jobs, especially the one that you're currently in?
Adaptability for sure.
Why is that?
Well, so the first role, being in charge of the business development, I had to constantly look at things that could be changed, look at different processes and things like that. Especially when COVID hit, I had to kind of figure out, well, problem solving essentially. I had to figure out problems and find solutions to that. In my second role, I was actually a branch manager at a financial institution. I think we had roughly 14 branches across the country. And we had targets and things of that nature. So kind of got the competitiveness out of me, especially being in charge of our metrics. so I guess bringing those certain skills has helped me in terms of helping business owners today and what they do.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm curious then, how did you end up in Toledo?
How did I end up in Toledo? That is a good question. Well, a couple flights. No, I'm joking. So during COVID, I'd actually applied to go to do school in Netherlands, as you know, we had talked about earlier.
For your master's?
For my master's, correct. Mm-hmm. And I was accepted, and then COVID happened. Had to defer my admissions. And then I was talking to my aunt who stays here in Ohio, and she's like, hey, why don't you apply here? I'm like, okay, sure. Fly, got accepted, obviously. And 2021 came about. Europe was still kind of like keeping our borders closed, and America was kind of like, maybe we'll open our borders a little bit. So I ended up coming here and did my master's, did my MBA in finance. And during that time, I got an internship over at the Chamber, thanks to my advisor. Shout out Tom.
Where was your master's?
My master's, I went to BG, I went to Bowdoin Green State University.
Nice. Yeah. Another Falcon, Libby.
Yes.
We
yes.
love to see it. So tell us about that experience. Was it an online program due to COVID or in person?
It was in person. At the time, it was in person. Which is good. Obviously, coming to a new environment, you want to interact with the people in person. I did hear about people doing school online, especially like the first year. It sounded horrible. Luckily for me, I got to interact with people in person. It was good. It was a change for sure.
I want to know more about that as someone who has been to BG.
Yeah.
How does that compare to, you know, somewhere like Russia,
yeah,
and those schools?
So
there.
I've lived in cities that are bigger. In Russia, I believe the population that I was in, the city was probably about roughly 5 million. The city in Colombia was like 10 million. My country's, the city I live in, is probably close to a million, if not over a million. So going to BG, that was a big, big difference. But obviously, you know, living in these different countries, you learn to adapt. I think that's something that I've always managed to do. Let me not say with ease all the time, but I've been able to figure out how to adjust. But yeah, BG was very cool. People there are very friendly. It's a college town.
Yeah,
you know what a college town is like.
And so then you start interning,
yes,
interning with the chamber.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. What was your day-to-day like?
During my time, I was looking for jobs, obviously, as college students do.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta look at the next steps. And found an internship at the chamber. Initially, I was just doing stuff on the back end, just kind of supporting the team that I'm working with right now, mainly on the financial stuff because my background is in finance as well. So that was fun. And, you know, my internship finished and I left. I left looking for better opportunities. And during that time, I was on vacation in Florida with my family. And the chamber was like, hey, are you still looking for jobs right now? I'm like, yeah, I am. And they asked me to come back. And I was like, sure. Went back to the chamber and continued doing the work that I was doing back then. And they gave me more responsibility at that point in time. And then I was offered the full-time position, which I've been in for about 3 years, actually, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so then talk about that. So you are a certified business advisor through the Small Business Development Center at,
yes,
the Toledo Regional Chamber.
Sounds like a mouthful.
It is certainly a mouthful, but it's really important work what you guys are doing in your
100%.
Department. So talk a little bit about what your department looks like and how you are helping people in the community.
Okay, perfect. So currently we are a team of three. It is myself, my colleague, and the director. The work that we do is very, 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 very beneficial to a lot of different business owners within the area. A lot of people do not know or have an idea of where to start, or they just start the businesses and have no idea of how to continue going forward, or once they come into any obstacles, they just get stuck and they give up, or they make wrong decisions, essentially. The work that we do is to help guide these people. We empower them. We give them access to many different opportunities, capital, just to guide them, essentially, to make sure that they're doing all the right steps to be profitable. There are lots of businesses here that we've helped, businesses that you guys are customers of that we've helped. Because of confidentiality reasons, I can't tell you the businesses, but trust me when I say there are lots of businesses that we do help. And I always tell people, if you guys ever need help, reach out to us. There's no cost to you at all to work with us.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are always going above and beyond researching different grants for people,
yep,
and doing client meetings. And I think it's obviously something that you all feel very passionate about,
100%.
And that you can see that impact in the community. So do you have a certain, obviously with client confidentiality,
yes,
you can't tell specifics,
yes,
but do you have a certain interaction that meant the most to you, or really just kind of solidified that what you were doing was really important in our community?
Good question. Actually, a couple. I've had instances where I've had clients actually shed some tears within the meetings. They had their backs against the wall, basically. Things were crumbling. They were hemorrhaging money. Their businesses were about to close. They may have had to file for bankruptcy, and they just didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we do is we let them relax. You calm them down, tell them, hey, listen, don't worry. You're making the right step by coming to us. And then we look at the financials and things of that nature. But just being able to see the impact and the hope that we're able to give our different clients, that really, really helps us. It's fulfilling, essentially.
Yeah. No, that's really incredible. And I think, obviously, when you are working with people who this is their whole life.
Exactly.
You know, you have to have some sort of element of, like...
Yeah, that bedside manner. Yeah. And caregiving. How do you help handle that and kind of find that empathy and sympathy?
I don't know. I guess it comes natural to me, funny enough.
Just such a nice guy.
No. That's a tad bit dramatic. No, we do have people who... Yeah, we hear some stories. There's some people that really go through a lot of trying times indeed. We are just there to let them know that, hey, it's not the end of the world. There are many resources like us at the Chamber and other organizations within Toledo as well that are there to help many different business owners take advantage of those resources, and they come at no cost to you, majority of them. But it is quite fulfilling to see the changes and the impact and how we can help people elevate their businesses and their lives, essentially, and the family's lives, essentially, because it passes on to the family.
Yeah. Just so important.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, too, kind of outside of the work element, but more in your day-to-day life in Toledo,
Okay. What
are some things in our community that you like to do when you're not at work?
I'm a very boring person. I'm a homebody. I'm joking. Let me see. Day-to-day... Let me not say day-to-day, maybe on a weekly basis. There are many different events for young people. I know Epic as well does a lot of networking events for young people, but there are many different events out there. I recommend any young professional to find out about all the different events out there. There are many different organizations host them. So attend some of those when I can. We have the water, so I like to go by the park, you know, get in... Obviously, when the weather's good. Let me see, what else? I like to stay active, so you'll see me out and about. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I want to ask, too, because I know you're a foodie.
I am a foodie.
So tell me first, before we get to Toledo, what is the country that has had the best food or maybe has surprised you the most, country or city?
Surprised? Well, I guess this may be a surprise to you. Maybe not. My country, obviously. I love the food from my country.
Botswana,
exactly. We have the best beef in the world. We actually export our beef. But our food and our dishes, they are unmatched. I am sorry. I just always going to advocate for our food. But yeah, we have the best food for sure.
Is there a specific dish?
Specific dish. Well, there's this place has the best wings. When I tell you the best wings... The best wings. Now, I know I just talked about beef, but the best wings. These wings are good.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then in terms of Toledo, was there anything that surprised you about the food landscape of Toledo?
Yeah, it is actually quite diverse. I didn't expect it to be quite diverse. You have different types of cuisines from your Mexican, your Asian, your Mediterranean. So I was... pleasantly surprised by the different offerings that Toledo has in terms of cuisine.
Is there one specific type of cuisine that you feel like Toledo's missing?
Missing? That is a good question. I don't think so. I don't think so. I like Indian food and Toledo has that. So there we go.
So fair.
There we go. Exactly.
So with everywhere that you've been and lived, what is it about Toledo that you think makes it special, keeps you here?
What makes Toledo special? Toledo has a lot of opportunities for young professionals. Being that it is small-ish, it allows you to network a lot more compared to some of these bigger cities. You can be a lot more connected. So in terms of that, it has amazing opportunity. I know that the real estate as well is doing really well. So it just has a lot of opportunity for growth. What we need is more young professionals such as yourselves to come back to Toledo and, you know, try to invest or put in your time and effort within Toledo. But yeah, Toledo has lots of opportunity. Don't sleep on Toledo.
Yeah, real.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Toledo.
Yeah.
And we always like to end the interview before we get to our favorite Roman Empire segment by asking what advice you have for other young professionals in our community or just in general.
young professionals, if you are still in school, capitalize on any programs that you guys have that allow you to network. I think a lot of people start networking when it's a bit too late or start looking for jobs when it's a bit too late. There are many different programs or bridging programs that allow you to get involved within the workspace. Also, I know traditionally we have been taught about going to school and getting a 9-to-5 job after. There are many different entrepreneurial opportunities as well out there. I mean, like, that's what I do. I help different business owners. So obviously I have to recommend that. So there's not just one path, but whatever path you decide to go into, just kind of do your research and try to work towards that at an early stage. Yeah, but there are many different professions that can help you either way that you decide to go. Yeah.
And you didn't think we would leave without a Roman Empire. We love to see it. So, Busong, I've been anxiously waiting to hear what your Roman Empire is. So would you do us the honors of going first?
This is going to sound very random, and please do not judge me. Steak.
Just steak in general.
Steak. Well, you have to pair with fries, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta pair with fries. Okay. I am a sucker for steak and fries. Mm-hmm. Constantly, that's probably what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. I just love a good steak and fries.
Do I cook?
Do I cook? Of course I cook. Not just steak and fries, but yes, I do love cooking. But yeah, steak and fries, that's my Roman Empire.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the first time that Busong and I ever got lunch outside of work, he ordered steak and fries.
Yeah, that's true. I did order steak and fries. That is actually true.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I love that for you.
Simple man.
Yeah.
Predictable.
It's wonderful.
Exactly.
And today, you know, in return for our Roman Empires, we thought we would give you a treat of sharing a Roman Empire today.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because it's spooky season,
yes,
you guys.
Halloween is here.
It's in full swing. Yes. And Libby beautifully decorated our house with all sorts of spooky things.
Okay. It's my
and
favorite. So, I love collecting right after Halloween when it all goes on sale. Yeah. And then you just stick it away until next year and then you have all this new stuff.
So she has brought out all the decorations. We have secured the menu. We are well in prep for our Halloween party. We are so excited. And so we have to share with you what we're going as this year.
Okay.
Which... first, you have to explain, no matter what piece of media, show, anything, we are placing our friend group always into the who is who.
Always. There's six of us that we do this with. It's Libby and myself and then our partners. And then we do this with another couple that we're friends with. And the six of us always say, okay, who's who in this movie, this show, and even singers. I mean, we were talking earlier about doing singers next year instead.
It could probably be inanimate objects and we would still find a way to like who is who.
Which Voices Around Us podcast are we? So Libby and I would have to fight over on the come up. So this year we decided we would be a little extra for the Halloween party, and our group is going as the characters from Five Nights at Freddy's. And let me tell you, anyone who knows me knows that I love Five Nights at Freddy's so bad. And we saw the movie together. We love to watch Five Nights at Freddy's. We love to play the games. And so we decided it'd be really fun for our group to go as Five Nights at Freddy's. So kicking it off with me, I'm going as the one and only Freddy Fazbear.
Have to
do it. Got the top hat, the ears. I'm ready to go, man.
Yes, I will be Chica.
Yes, Chica.
Yes, specifically Toy Chica.
You have to explain too about your costume.
Yeah, so huge shout out to my mom. She is the most crafty, most wonderful person. She has handmade my bib that says "Let's Party."
In the actual font.
In the exact font.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With her Cricut and then a really good fabric. And then she's also, I was like, oh, I want the little like Carl cupcake. They're the plushes that are available. They're all like discontinued collector's items. Very expensive for a Halloween costume. She has hand crocheted with no pattern, just came up on her own with a little Carl cupcake that looks identical.
It's amazing.
It's fantastic. And I just love her so much.
It is like the pièce de résistance to your costume.
And she did it in like 3 days.
I know. She's incredible. And so we have my girlfriend is going as Foxy, which is one of the members of our group costume, has 3D printed a pirate hat to hot glue to her fox ears, which is really exciting. And then Demetrius. Yes,
I'll have the security guard.
Yes.
Watching over all the animatronics.
We will have the night guard, of course. And then our two friends are going as Bonnie, who is the bunny, and then Balloon Boy, because it's just hilarious.
Just
and
perfect for him.
We have been meticulously saving TikToks and all sorts of photo inspo for things that we want to do. We're getting real creative this year, you guys. So if you follow us on social media, you'll be able to see all of this. So do that.
And we hope you all have fun in your Halloween costumes too.
Have fun. Get stay safe. It. Enjoy all the exciting things Toledo has to offer, or host or attend a party at a friend's. Yeah. Very fun. But Busong, back to you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you
very much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
We want to thank Busong Mokgosi, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Livy and Riley, and our executive producer is the stupendous Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.